ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। सो हरे कृष्ण ऑल दी असेंबल्ड वैष्णवस्, I seek your blessings. So today I may glorify the Lord properly, bhakti and as well as the Vaishnavas. So we are reading from Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 10, chapter number 14, Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna, and text number 12. So please kindly repeat after me. Utkshepanam garbhagatasya padayo. उत्क्षेपणं गर्भगतस्य किं कल्पते मातुरधोक्षजागसे किमस्ति नास्ति व्यपदेशभूषितम् तवास्ति कुक्षे कियदप्यनन्तः ओके, विल रीड वर्ड फॉर वर्ड। उत्क्षेपनम् द किकिंग Garbhagatasya, of a child in the womb. Padayoho, of the legs. Kim, what? Kalpate, amounts to. Matuhu, for the mother. Adhokshaje, O transcendental Lord. Agase, as an offense. Kim, what? Asti, it exists. Na asti, it does not exist. Vyapadesha, by the designations. Bhushitam, decorated. Tava, your. Asti, there is. Kukshehe, of the abdomen. Kiyat, how much? Api, even. Anantaha, eternal. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord Adhokshaja, does a mother take offense when the child within her womb kicks with his legs? And is there anything in existence, whether designated by various philosophers as real or as unreal, that is actually outside your abdomen? Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows in this verse in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Volume 1, Chapter 14. Lord Brahma, therefore, compared himself to a little child within the womb of his mother. If the child within the womb plays with his hands and legs, and while playing touches the body of the mother, is the mother offended with this child? Of course, she isn't. Similarly, Lord Brahma may be a very great personality, and yet not only Brahma, but everything that exists is within the womb of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord's energy is all-pervading. There is no place in the creation where it is not acting. Everything is existing within the energy of the Lord, so the Brahma of this universe are the Brahmas of the many other millions and trillions of universes are existing within the energy of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord is considered to be the mother, and everything existing within the womb of the mother is considered to be the child. And the good mother is never offended with the child, even if he touches the body of the mother by kicking his legs. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Krishna Chaitanyam Ishwaram Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we have been hearing about this particular pastime of Lord Brahma stealing the cows of Krishna from several sessions. At least I have been here for last two or three sessions. Sri Hari Prabhu Narayani Mataji, yesterday Vaishnava Maharaj. So we discussed several different points. There may be little repetition, but I tried to organize my content into three different sections. There may be little overlap. The first one is to go into a little bit of the history of Brahmaji, how he came about, who he is, and his service. And then the second one is significance of some of the words used in this particular verse. And the third one is the perspective that we should keep towards this incident, because it may be easier to misunderstand what's happening, or, you know, maybe look down upon Brahmaji, you know, certain things because of our immaturity. So I thought those are the three things I would touch upon today. So the first one is going into the history of Brahmaji. Actually, the Bhagavata Mahapurana itself starts with the mention of Lord Brahma and Krishna. And those two actors are presented right when the curtains open of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the very first verse itself. Janmadyasya yataha. Asya janmadi. Asya means this world, this material world. When we usually talk about idam, asya, when we are saying this in Sanskrit literature, it refers to this world. And when we say that, it refers to Krishna. Tat refers to the Supreme Lord. Idam Om Purnamada Purnamidam, right? So Asya Janmadi, the creation, the maintenance, the sustenance, everything is coming from Supreme Lord Krishna. So, but the first living being in this creation is Lord Brahma. So Tene Brahma Hridaya Ya Adikavaye. Krishna, he has given Brahma. Now the word Brahma, there's a neuter word Brahma and there's a masculine word Brahma. So when we say Brahma with a long A, it refers to Lord Brahma we're talking about. And if you use the short A, it's actually Brahman. So when you use the short one, it can refer to absolute truth it can refer to Vedas. So tene Brahma, the Vedas, was imparted by Krishna to Lord Brahma. So here Krishna is the guru of Lord Brahma. And another interesting thing is mentioned in this particular first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Muhyanti Yat Surayaha. One of the things, Krishna, he bewilders even the sages and demigods. Right? And that's what is happening. There's a competition to put somebody into illusion between Brahma and Krishna. So, but in the very first verse of Bhagavatam, Krishna's and Brahma's position is clear. Even though Brahma is the creator, Krishna is the original creator. From him, janmadyasya yataha. And Krishna can bewilder, including all the demigods, including Brahma. So Lord Brahma was the first living entity, and he was in the third chapter of the first canto, and the incarnations of the Lord are mentioned. Yasyam bhajishayanasya yoga nidram vitanvataha nabi hridam bujadasid Brahma Vishva Srijampatihi. So this Vishva Srijampatihi, the creator of this world, Brahma, is born from the lotus flower that came from the navel of Lord Vishnu. So when the Purushavataras, the incarnations, the Purushavataras are described in the beginning of the third chapter, after describing Mahavishnu, then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, then Brahma has appeared like that. So once Brahma appeared, it was dark, everything. He was on that lotus flower, he was bewildered. He has a particular service to do. He doesn't know how to do. And what do when we don't know? We are looking for help, right? I was a little nervous. I went to Brihad Bhagavat Maharaj and sought his blessings. So Brahma had to do his service. So he was contemplating, he was seeking for guidance. And then it is described in the Bhagavatam, second canto, ninth chapter, because Narada Muni has asked Brahmaji, because Brahmaji was the first living entity and he generated other living entities. Naradaji, one of his Manasa Putras. And Narada wondered, is Brahma the supreme? Because, you know, there's no one else and everyone is going to him, so he must be the master. And Narada asked Brahma, you know, are you the supreme person? And Brahma said, this is a very intelligent question, you're very smart. And Brahma is aware of his position. He said, only foolish people think that I am the supreme. But actually I am not. And then he describes the history of everything. And in that he is describing how he was initiated by the Lord. How he was given all the powers by the Lord. So when he was describing, he says, when he was seeking for guidance, Krishna, in the Bhagavatam it describes, Shodasham Ekavimsham, 16th and 21st syllables of the alphabet. He heard the sound. And the very first sound in the creation that Brahmaji heard from Krishna is something we don't want to hear. Because this material world is meant to enjoy, right? But the first instruction Krishna gives to Brahma is Tapa, the 16th and the 21st letters of the alphabet, austerity. Tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam. We have to, tapasya is required for self-realization. We don't get proper guidance in life if we don't undergo tapasya. So after hearing this, Brahma, he has performed severe tapasya for 1000 celestial years. So now it's a big time for us. So I was thinking, how big is it for Lord Brahma? It, one celestial year, as Prabhupada writes in the purport to 296, is, he says, 6 multiplied by 30 multiplied by 12 by 1000, that's 2 million. And that's, you multiply by 1000, that's 2 billion. So we know a day of Brahma is 4.3 billion and his night is also 4.3 billion years. So it appears he performed half of his day, tapasya. That's quite a bit of time. He has to live for very long. So that's still, you know, you could say half of the Divya Yuga, 1000 Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam, not Divya Yuga, Sahasra Divya Yugas. So after performing tapasya, then he was given the strength. So Srila Prabhupada says that as the initiation process. So he was given the mantra to do the, he was told to do the tapasya, austerities, and Krishna gave him strength to perform the creation. Now the creation is also two things, one is sarga, one is visarga. Sarga is the initial elements, you know, it's coming from Mahavishnu, then Garbhodakashaya Vishnu, the ingredients and everything are taken by Lord Brahma. And visarga is the secondary creation, that's what Lord Brahma performs, he assembles things together. Right, we have this cell phone, now you have a car, you may see a car, and there will be like maybe about 2000 different parts in a car to manufacture a car. It's not very little parts. Between the brake and the tire, there are so many layers. I mean, we rarely touch Mother Earth these days, you know, the roads and everything we travel, so many layers. So it's not so easy to make one thing. So many things happen. There's one chip in this cell phone, engineering. It's a memory chip. So I work for a memory manufacturing company. It's called Micron. And when I first started, went to school, when I was doing my master's in the computer lab, the computer had 2 gigabytes of hard disk. Not memory, hard disk. 2 gigabytes. And now you see, just the memory itself, you can get 64 gigs on a cell phone, 128, 256. So we make memory, and it goes through so many different steps to become a chip that goes into the computer. 24/7, there's manufacturing. 24/7. If something is down for a few minutes, we lose millions of dollars. There's one piece of equipment which is a one process in the whole assembly line. It costs about $100 million, and it requires 3 747s to bring the tool machine, right? And you know, we write software to manufacture chips on that one machine, but there are 50 different kinds of different machines to make one chip to put into the cell phone, and this cell phone has many, many other parts. Prabhupada says Brahma is the main, the chief engineer, right? But we are, engineering is not an easy thing. And Brahma had this task, putting things together, creating so many different bodies according to our natures, so that we can enjoy this material world according to our propensities. So Brahma is doing this service. So it's a big job. Any job we may have, we may be proud of that job. Right? Now I'm explaining how big the job I do is. Right? So we may feel pride. So after Krishna empowers Brahma, Brahma is aware. He's not just, some puffed up guy. He's very conscious. He's approaching his service with proper mood, for seeking strength for service. When Krishna told him, you go through this process, sincerely doing it, and then Krishna empowering him. And after Krishna empowered him, he said, my Lord, now I have this job, and I would like to do this very nicely, but there is one problem. I may become proud. I may become proud of this service. So what should I do? So then Krishna explains about himself more, the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Aham eva sameva gretu etava deva jignasyam. And then after that he tells Brahma, Brahma, you see me in everything in this world, and you do your service with that consciousness. Always feel my presence in everything. You do with that consciousness and you'll be protected. So then Brahma, always he does his service for the sake of keeping this creation. But what is the purpose of this creation? He knows the purpose of creation. is to rectify all the living entities so that we can develop pure love of Krishna. Actually, we can revive the love that is there within our heart and then go back to Godhead. So that is the service he has. So for that purpose, he has to keep everything going in this material world. So now there are living entities sitting in the body of Mahavishnu, sitting in the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. When the creation happens again, they have to be given different bodies. Now in order to give the bodies, there has to be production. Now Brahma's engineering is very powerful, right? He created machines that creates more machines. A male and a female produces more machines, right? We didn't manufacture that yet. A machine that creates itself. When a car, we have a car, it's getting old, it doesn't produce another car before it dies, right? You have to have a separate thing. But Brahma's creation is, it goes on. So he needs prajapatis, you know, those who produces people. So Brahma himself, he says in one of these previous verses that, who am I? I am Rajo Bhuvaha. I am born of the mode of passion. Does it mean Brahma himself is in the mode of passion? Lord Shiva is in charge of mode of ignorance. Does that mean he is in ignorance? So Lord Brahma, he is simply in charge of that particular mode. But when we are working with that, when you are cooking pizza the whole day, you may smell like pizza. Because, you know. So sometimes you may get sucked into that service. So Brahma in that process, that may try to influence him. One example is when the Kumaras, so he has to make this creation, and he had four sons, Kumaras, they are the oldest. And in the series of incarnations, after the three Purusha Avataras, Brahmacharyam Chachara, he took the form of these four Kumaras and performed severe Brahmacharya. So Kumaras are known for Brahmacharya, so therefore they will not get married. How can they produce anybody? And that they are empowered to be Brahmacharis, they are incarnations of Krishna for the purpose of remaining Brahmacharis, the Kumaras. So now here they are that, and Brahma's purpose is to create. So he wanted the Kumaras, you go and create. And Kumaras said, no. Right? And here the sons disobeying the father, that's not good. The first sons of Brahma, the first sons in the creation are disobeying the father. And this is not good. So Brahma, he's in the mode of passion, so anger rushes into his consciousness. But again, he's Lord Brahma. He's the Adikavi, he's the Adi Guru, and he's the first teacher who has the Vedas. So therefore, he uses his intelligence to control that mode of passion, that anger. So this is Brahma's position. Even though he is using that mode of passion, generally he controls it. It's under control. But sometimes it may go out of control. So in this particular case, with the Kumaras, it has come into his body. It could be seen in his body, but he pushed it down. But Lord Shiva could not, when Bhrigumuni tried to test also. This incident also happens when Bhrigumuni was testing, that was discussed previously as well. So Brahma continues the creation, then he creates Lord Shiva, and then Swayambhuva Manu and Shatarupa, and the creation continues, and throughout the creation also he intervenes at significant points of the creation. When there was no one to rule, after Swayambhuva Manu had 5 children, Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti, Uttanapada and Priyavrata. So Uttanapada was ruling, and after his dynasty goes all the way to Prachetas, they go to perform austerities, and there was vacant seat. There's no one to manage. Then Brahma goes, and Priyavrata also wanted to be a Brahmachari. But Narada Muni's business is to make sure everybody remains brahmacharis. So Priyavrata, he was being instructed by Narada, and then Brahma goes, you come back and you manage the affairs. And now there's a conflict here again, Narada Muni and Brahma. Narada is son of Brahma. But Brahma's instruction prevails. Priyavrata comes back so that the things will continue. So we see throughout like this, Brahmaji intervenes even when there was conflict between Lord Shiva and Daksha, and Daksha was killed, and it was Brahma again who intervenes and who, you know, brings peace to the situation. Many incidents like this, Lord Brahma is constantly doing his service. When Indra lost his throne, when he insulted Brihaspati, that time again Brahma instructs him to keep Vishwarup as his chief priest and perform sacrifices. So throughout this Bhagavatam we see Brahma's position is not, you know, any insignificant. He is very, very powerful, and he is performing his service very sincerely and seriously. And then one of the things about his, you know, Rajoguna is also generally the tendency of Rajoguna is to make us attracted to things. If we find ourselves being attracted to anything material in this world, we should know mode of passion has triggered. It may be nice car or something, or attraction for of a male for a female. This is Rajo Ragatmakam Vindhi. And Trishna Sangha Samudbhavam. This longing, and the symptoms of this Rajoguna is also we have longing. We have this intense desire to get something, do something. And when we get it, we associate with it. You know, we just keep on, you know, playing a video game or showing off your new toy or whatever it may be. That desire to do that will be very strong. So in this particular Leela, also Brahma, he couldn't control this desire to test Krishna. So he wanted to test Krishna. And the way he describes is, Mayi Mayinam. Mayam Vitatya. He says, by spreading Maya, I try to spread Maya on the master, on that person who is the master of all those who also can do lot of Maya. So there's Maya and Mayi. Mayi is the one who performs Maya. That person is Mayi. And Mayi Mayinam, Mayinam Mayi. Krishna is among all those who are performing these tricks. Krishna can perform tricks on them. And Brahma is addressing Krishna like that. And you are like that, but I tried to spread Maya on you. And through that process, I wanted to see. Ekshitum Aicham. I wanted to see. What? Tava Vaibhavam. I wanted to see your glory. So if Brahma is the one who invited Krishna to come. It's not that Brahma doesn't know. He is the one who told Krishna to come, to appear. And he clearly told Brahma, I'll appear in the Yadu dynasty. And he told, you should instruct the demigods also to appear. And he said, Yogamaya will come, Balaramji will come. All the instructions are given. So how come Brahma forgot that he is Krishna? So he knew he is Krishna, but at the same time, because he had this power to play Maya, to throw Maya out there, and he was a little bit bewildered. Is it really Krishna? Let me test him. So in his own words, he's saying, I wanted to, Aicham Ekshitum Tava Vaibhavam, I wanted to see your glory. That's what I wanted to do. So because of this, you know, passion, when you have passion, you want to compete. That's the nature of passion, right? You see people driving on the road, and if one person overtakes you, the next goes, right? You cannot handle. You cannot handle somebody overtaking you. And you go so far that you even forget where are you even going. Sometimes it happens. We get absorbed in the passion, we forget our goal. It's so powerful. So Brahma wanted to test Krishna. And here he's begging for forgiveness for doing that. And now he was not doing about vicious mentality, you know, not doing out of, oh, I'm greater than Krishna in a conscious mood, but some unconscious passion has entered and he has done it, and like, oops, so it was a mistake. A mistake is something you are not intentionally trying to do. A mistake in Sanskrit is called a pramada. Among the four illusions, one of them is pramada. It means inattentiveness. When we are doing our service, we are not attentive. So when we are not attentive, what happens? Then we are just being driven. When we are not attentive, we are chanting, the flow is going, but our mind is not there. So what happens is the senses, there is memory in the senses also. Sometimes you are walking, but you don't know where you are walking. You just forget what you are doing because we are not attentive. Just like the machine, it just keeps on going. So when we are not attentive, the modes that which this body absorbs, the consciousness absorbs, the modes are driving. And majority of people, that's what it is. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Majority of the people, they are simply being driven by these modes. Only a devotee is coming out of this and he is having Krishna drive him. So unless we are conscious of Krishna, Krishna will not drive, and when we are inattentive, the modes will come and sit in the driver's seat. And because when we are inattentive, we are pushing Krishna aside, then Maya is ready to come and sit and drive. Right? So pramada is like that. So out of mistake, you know, Brahma, he entered into this competition with Krishna. So he's saying, therefore, you know, just forgive me, Krishna, just like a mother forgives a child. Now the analogy is also important, because when a baby is in the womb of the mother, is the baby kicking intentionally, I want to hurt my mother? No, the baby is very conditioned in that state, very conditioned, you know, being wrapped in that womb, cannot move properly. So being under the influence of its own karma, the baby is in the womb and he started kicking. Now the mother doesn't take offense. Prabhupada puts a question mark, you know, rhetorical. Does a mother take offense? No, she doesn't. So Brahma is saying, you see me in that manner, O my Lord. Because everything, maya tadamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina. Krishna is, everything is pervaded by Krishna. So therefore we are residing in Krishna's energy. And actually this is what Krishna instructed Brahma to do in that verse. If you do this, you will not be proud. So for few moments, Brahma forgot that and he got trapped. And therefore he is praying now to be forgiven. Now how is he addressing Krishna? He is addressing Krishna as Adhokshaja. This word Adhokshaja, there are three different meanings to this word that have been discussed by the Acharyas. And the common meaning of Adhokshaja is what? Does anyone remember? Adhokshaja. Transcendental Lord is how it's typically translated. Yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitukya pratihata yatma suprasidati. So he is Akshaja, means, Aksha means senses. Akshaja, that which is born of the senses, the sense perception. Adhokshaja means is beyond the sense perception. Krishna is beyond our sense perception. We cannot know Krishna. But then how do we know Krishna if he is beyond our sense perception? And in that verse I quoted, yato bhaktir adhokshaje. Bhakti is the only process. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. He is beyond the sense perception, but through the process of devotion he can be known. And another meaning of Adhokshaja that Srila Prabhupada gives, very beautiful meaning, is in the Sanskrit alphabet, There are 49 letters, and some say there are 50 letters. So in this case, take it as 49, and the first one is A, and the last one is Ksha. Actually, it's 50 if you take Ksha. So A and Ksha. Akshaja means anything that is produced from the letters from A to Ksha. You take entire set of alphabets, the words, the sentences, the poetry, the prose, the songs, everything that you compose to describe Krishna, still we will not be able to understand Krishna. So Krishna is not to be known through discussions, through dialogues, through mental speculation. Words cannot reach Krishna. Through this we cannot understand. So therefore his name is Adhokshaja. Brahma is addressing him, you know, you cannot be known, you know, I am a big scholar. But I cannot understand you. You are Adhokshaja. And another meaning of Adhokshaja is that in the Krishna Leela, when Krishna was a little boy, Mother Yashoda was performing called the Brahmanas. I believe this happens right after Krishna was kidnapped by Trinavarta. So she calls the Brahmanas to protect the baby. And they were, you know, doing, chanting mantras, doing sacrifice, and then the baby becomes heavy. She puts him under a cart. And there was actually a demon in this cart. And this cart breaks down. And what happens? Everything on the cart will fall down. The wheel breaks and they fall down. And Krishna was somehow protected. But how did it fall down? The little children, they say, it fell down because Krishna was kicking the cart. That's why it fell down. So that when everybody comes to get him, they were relieved. Nanda Baba, Yashoda Mata, you know, they take the baby and, oh, I'm so lucky. Yashoda Mata says, Brahmanas, do one more sacrifice, you know, do more pujas to protect my baby. So here, one of the meaning of Aksha is also axle. Axle of a cart, the rod that goes in between the wheels. Axle. And at that time, the Brajavasis, they discussed that, oh, it's almost like Krishna has taken birth again. This is second birth for the baby. He could have died, so he had another birth. And this is how Rupa Goswami describes the meaning of Adhokshaja, is he has taken birth again under the cart. Therefore, Nanda Maharaja and others, they gave this name to Krishna also as Adhokshaja. So these are the different meanings of the word Adhokshaja that is described in here. And another interesting thing is this word Adhokshaja is also Jiva Goswami uses in Sanskrit grammar. It is a tense in grammar. It's used in the as a past tense where you haven't seen something. Sanskrit has ways to express the past tense, but you did not see it. Maybe you heard it and you're describing. Then that tense is also called Adhokshaja. So Jiva Goswami uses Brahma's name and Krishna's name and Shiva's name to name different tenses. And for Brahma, he uses a tense called Vidhi. In English, it's called optative tense. And also imperative. Vidhata and Vidhi are the names of Brahma. So Brahma is Vidhi and Krishna is Adhokshaja. And Vaishnava Maharaj nicely explained how Brahma follows, he creates all these rules and regulations. And however, Brajavasis are above these rules and regulations. And Krishna is Adhokshaja, and the Brajavasis are transcendental, and they are situated not in Vaidhi Bhakti, but they are in higher state of devotional service. So in this way, Brahma is performing various prayers. So now I would also like to talk about the perspective that we should keep towards Brahmaji. So particularly for us Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Brahmaji is very, very important. He is our main Acharya in the Sampradaya Acharya, Brahmaji. There are four Sampradayas, Brahma Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya and Kumara Sampradaya. So for our Sampradaya, Brahmaji is the head. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he composed a beautiful set of verses giving the names of all Acharyas. Right? Krishna Hoite Chaturmukha. Krishna gave this knowledge to Lord Brahma. What knowledge? I forgot the next word, Sevon Mukha. Being engaging in the service of the Lord. The process of devotional service was given by Krishna to Brahma. And Srila Prabhupada explains that Brahmaji has given us this Brahma Sanhita. And he says practically in every verse he is saying, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He is worshipping Lord Govinda. And Lord Brahma is seeing Krishna. All the beautiful verses in Brahma Samhita were composed by Lord Brahma. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santas Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yan Shyama Sundara Machintya Guna Swarupam Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Brahmaji is describing how Krishna looks like. And for us, the prominent books are Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, but also to establish our Siddhanta, Brahma Samhita gives much more information about Krishna. Bhagavatam, we have certain information. Verses like Ete Chamshakala Pumsa, which is the Paribhasha Sutra. But Brahma Samhita is so important that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he found this in Ananta Padmanabha Temple on his South Indian tour. And only one chapter of Brahma Samhita he has. But however, we may wonder, is it a lot of people who are not Gaudiya Vaishnavas, oh, this is your own thing that you wrote down and put it in there. And it does happen, right? There's also Allah Upanishad. Right? It's a fact. There's Allah Upanishad. There are Upanishads which are just composed by people and just, you know, put into one of the, oh, this is one of the Upanishads. You just write in Sanskrit and after some time it may be a literature. So Brahma Samhita, it is not like that. It is discovered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually there was one Indologist. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in 16th century. But in the 13th century is the date given by an Indologist. Of course we don't believe this. When an Indologist gives a particular date, it's, you know, based on some sort of speculation or the oldest manuscript they can found and some other means, they just, you know, give a date to it. But Brahma Samhita is extremely important literature for us. And this is given by Lord Brahma. So he is our main Acharya. He is describing how Krishna looks like. He is playing on the flute. This is his color. And his eyes are like this. He is surrounded with so many gopis. He is tending his cows. All these things Brahmaji is describing. And based on, you know, his descriptions, we are performing the bhakti or bhakti process. So therefore, our perspective towards this should be, you know, he is a pure devotee, he is an acharya. There was one conversation, I think it's morning walk, and Brahmaji is bewildered here, and also, you know, during the time of creation, he was after his own daughter. There was that bewilderment as well. So one devotee, he came to a conclusion that, oh, in order to be an acharya, you don't have to be a pure devotee. So this was one of his proposition, that an acharya doesn't need to be a pure devotee. So Prabhupada was very angry. He's like, that's rascaldom. You should not think like that. That an acharya doesn't necessarily need to be a pure devotee. If we think like that, then what happens is, oh, there can be, you know, debauchees who are gurus. Then I can also be guru, right? And do all kinds of things. So it leads to this philosophy, which is not very good. Then Prabhupada quotes this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that Shukadeva Goswami cites, which says that we should not imitate Ishvara, the great personalities. If we imitate great personalities, there will be vinashanam, will destroy ourselves. And the example Shukadeva Goswami gives is, if somebody wants to imitate Lord Shiva and he is drinking poison, therefore we will also drink poison. And what happens? We will die. Right? So therefore it is very, very important that those who are in significant big services, they are doing important services for the Lord, we should not think that, oh, he is doing like this, I will also do. Because one thing is, it's easy to criticize others, but unless we are put in a particular situation, we don't know how we are going to react. You know, it's easy that, oh, you should not do this, you should not do that. But what are the circumstances in which that was done? If I am put into that situation, how will I behave? That thought, it doesn't occur to us a lot of times. Right? So therefore it is very, very important not to fall victim to these things and minimize the position of the great personalities when they commit some mistakes. It's not just Lord Brahma, but it may be even others who are in significant services for the Lord in our movement. So we have to be very, very careful not to unnecessarily criticize. And this also serves another example that was also discussed previously. We should be, Brahma is openly expressing that his position, you know, I was victimized by this Maya, I beg for forgiveness, by this mode of passion I was victimized. And he was transparent about his situation, he was not hiding and trying to be somebody. And he is begging for forgiveness. So through these leelas, we have to learn these things. That they are instructing us through these activities that we should always be cautious of being insignificant beings. We should be cautious of our position in performing the bhakti and do it properly. So I think it's 6 more minutes is left. I would like to know if any of the devotees have any comments. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the class.
Thank you.
So Lord Brahma, he felt bad or guilty that he interfered with Krishna's pastimes, although he had a sense that maybe as Krishna was playing dangerous waters and that he might be chastised.
Yes.
But then also it was we considered that Krishna's arrangement, that it wasn't that just Lord Brahma fell into Maya, but maybe Krishna's put the spell of Maya on him to allow the pastime to happen. Did you?
So thank you very much for that question. I wanted to mention one more point I forgot. So this is Brahma is actually the level of, you know, you could say the competition of the Mayas is not at a very low level. It's extremely, you could say, the war of, you know, the war using big missiles, right? It's a very tough competition. It's so tough that even Balaramji could not figure out, right? Balaramji also, it took him little bit to, oh, all these cowherd boys, all these calves, this is Krishna, right? Even Balaramji took some time. So that means we can see this level of Maya that Krishna was presenting on Brahma is such that Prabhupada said Krishna expanded for two reasons. One is to teach a lesson to Brahma, and other one is to enjoy his pastimes with the mothers, whether the cows or the calves. So that reason for is there, and the second reason is, you know, Brahma. So that is part of the reason is how I understand. Yeah. Yes, Maharaj. It's a tough question for me, Maharaj. I think our perspective should be in Vaishnava Ninda, one of the books, forgot who even wrote it, probably Bhaktivinoda Thakur commented on it. When something happens to a Vaishnava, when he performs some activity, we have to see it as one thing could be even Krishna's arrangement in that situation. For example, even Bharata Maharaj, there are multiple descriptions. Swarabdha karma, suarabdha karma, one of the explanation was to expedite his advancement. It was not bad karma, but suarabdha karma. It was a result of pious activities. Why should you, in order to expedite? And another way to see it is, he was neglectful. Multiple explanations were given. So my point is, there are certain situations where Krishna may even arrange to expedite the process for the devotee, because as soon as one takes initiation, Krishna is under the control. Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita, "You surrender unto me, then I will deliver you." Then how could a devotee who is surrendered unto Krishna, he is not under general karmic situations, but Krishna is taking a particular care of that person, and in the process of his going back to Godhead, he is correcting him along the way when the mistakes are being made. So this is how I would see it. And we have this verse also in the Bhagavad Gita, apichetsu duracharo. The main point is that devotee is fixed up in this, continuing his service. He's not, misusing Krishna's name and spreading the wrong things. But generally what we see is, at least every devotee I have seen, they are, recent and continue. It's the lack of the strength and circumstances, but they never forget Krishna somehow or the other. So that's how our mood should be. Either let's help that person if we can, but being critical is something very detrimental to us, unless we are that person's close friend or shiksha guru or authority. It's a very difficult thing for us. We should be careful to get into that one, and we see as something that's going on between Krishna and the devotee. And the well-wishers of the devotee will be able to help him. So that's my little understanding.
So my question wasn't tough at all. It was so pretty.
Thank you. Thank you.
So
your question is, when everything is Brahma's creation, how was Krishna able to enter his creation? Yeah. So Krishna is already in the creation, right? He already told Krishna that he is in everything, already present. It's for Brahma to be able to see that fact. And that was actually the test. The main test was that, to see Krishna in everything. He's already present. It's not that he entered later. Krishna is already present, but he fully manifested his Leela, and the way he was able to do it, because he's more powerful than Krishna, Brahma. So Brahma has all his security cameras everywhere, and that's how he's conscious of everything. But Krishna can break, just you see people who can hack everything. You have your phone, you think this is my phone and I'm conscious of it, right? But right now I'm connected to another phone through Wi-Fi, okay? And there are people smarter than me who can break this internet connection and see what's being transmitted. So Krishna is like that. He is more powerful than Brahma. So therefore, he can do it. But however, Brahma had the opportunity to be aware of that, and you know, somehow he missed it, and that was the mistake. You know, he was told about it. Krishna told him at the beginning, and he told him I'm appearing, right? So Brahma was, you know, a little inattentive, and that's how he couldn't notice that. Okay, so should we stop here? Okay.
So we understand that Krishna cannot understand by direct perception. It's very difficult, right? Because Brahma himself got bewildered, though he was he's the engineer of this universe, and he got bewildered, he can understand from this text. Now the question is, when we try to read scriptures like Bhagavatam, Gita or Prabhupada books, and ultimately when we see this, we are not able to understand Krishna completely, but we are still trying to read the books. So what should be our goal when we read these books? Because ultimately we know that we are not able to understand them completely. So in what mood we should continue reading these books?
Yeah, it's a very good question. So we should continue to read, you know, Prabhupada's books on our own and in the association of devotees. Prabhupada, I believe in Bhagavad Gita, he says, nor independent study of the books will help us. What that means is, study of the scriptures, it has to be done under the guidance of devotees. We have commentary of Srila Prabhupada explaining it. But even the commentaries of Srila Prabhupada, sometimes we have to read multiple times to see what's happening, right? So therefore, studying in the association of devotees and listening, you know, to classes like this and discussing amongst the devotees, these things will help us have the proper perspective. If we independently do it, there's a danger that we may understand things in such a way to boost our false ego also sometimes. Oh, Prabhupada is criticizing that person, or you know, there's that danger. So therefore, we have to study under proper guidance, then it will help. For my own self, I'm still studying first two cantos properly with my Guru Maharaj's Holiness Arnav Prashaka Swami. He's my main teacher for the last 15 years. And I find so many things I just misunderstood. He keeps correcting me, and that good fortune is so we have to be hearing from senior devotees to get the right perspective and continue to read ourselves also and pray to Srila Prabhupada to reveal the actual meaning. And when we pray that, you know, that revelation will be there in our study. Okay, so we stop here. Thank you. Grandharashtri Mad Bhagavatam ki.